So, the blood, third of the great gifts we're covering in this mini-series. And, it's not a topic that you'd usually hear much about. So, I think it's really important. It is one of God's greatest gifts along with his word and his name. And so, just before we get into it, I just want to talk about the misunderstanding that some people have about the blood of Jesus. One night, a colleague of mine was working back late in the church office, in another church, and he doesn't usually answer the door after hours. And I think he was sorry that he did on this particular occasion. There was a young girl and her mum and two of her friends at the door, and they looked so distraught and upset and distressed, begging for help, that he let them in. And as he sat and heard their story, the young girl had been doing a séance in a cemetery just a few days earlier. And what happened was, a spirit had said it was a good spirit, and she decided to accept the spirit into her body. What happened in the few days following, she just kept randomly throwing herself into walls, smashing herself into walls. Her friends and family were really worried, but she had no recollection of doing this at the time. So as this story unfolded to my colleague, he said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to cast this spirit out, and we're going to cover you in the blood of Jesus for your protection. And they freaked out. Are you going to put blood on her? Are you going to put it, like, there's so much misunderstanding, because the blood is really a horrible term. It's gross. I hate blood. I was once watching my nana have a blood transfusion in a hospital, just watching it go drip, drip, drip. Next thing I'm on the floor. You know, same with my kids. If they had a sore as they were growing up, injuries, you know, I would faint if I had to clean it out. So I'd usually just get the Band-Aid, unwrap it, and say, put your sore here, and I'd have to fix it up themselves. But blood is grotesque, and it's really horrible thought that we gather as God's people and worship the Saviour who shed his blood for us and drink his blood. Early Christians were thought of as being cannibals. There was so much misunderstanding around the blood of Jesus. Now, I don't know how you feel about blood, but it is one of God's greatest gifts. And we are all, as God's people, covered in the blood of Jesus. That is for our protection, our redemption, every good gift that we need. I just had a conversation with a girl here a week ago, and she was saying, could I please have some wine so I could take communion at home every day and just remember the blood of Jesus and fight the devil? I'm having these daily battles with the devil, and I just want to have the blood of Jesus a little bit each day. And I said, you have the blood of Jesus every day. He covers you from head to toe. You are covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you fight the devil in that realm. You fight him and say, you declare that you are clean, you are covered by the blood of Jesus, and he can't harm you. Now, as I said, this is one of the three greatest gifts, and it has a lot of misunderstanding, so I'm going to pray for us today before we just get into the message and really ask God to give us greater understanding of what this means for us. Shall we pray? Jesus, thank you so much for shedding your blood for us. The full comprehension of everything that means for us, we don't get it all. And we're not even going to try and cover it all today, but we just want a real glimpse of what you offer through your blood, so we can be thankful for this amazing and great gift. Help us not to be afraid, but help us to gain greater understanding and apply your blood to our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we think about blood covering, I want to start with thinking about the Passover. I think most of you have heard the story of the Israelites who were in slavery in Egypt, and God sent Moses to set the people free. The Pharaoh didn't want to set all these Israelites free. They were good workers as slaves. And so God started sending plagues upon the people. Pharaoh wouldn't change his mind until the last plague, which was the death plague, which killed the firstborn in every family in Egypt. Now, this death plague would have covered all the Israelites as well if they didn't protect themselves with the blood of a lamb. They had to choose a one-year-old lamb from the flocks, paint the blood, kill the lamb, put the blood over their doorposts and over lintel and over top. And when the spirit of death came through their camps, he would see the blood and pass over that household, and no one in that household would die. They were covered by the blood of the Lamb to save their lives, to be able to get out of slavery and into the freedom, eventually to the promised land. Now, similarly, think of Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. She lived in Jericho. And when Joshua was going to overtake Jericho because, you know, they were enemies and conquer this city, he first sent in a few spies. And people in the city called on, there were spies in the city, and they went looking for them. And Rahab hid these spies in her house. And then she let them down outside, and they could escape. And later on, Jericho was conquered. But Rahab, for her kindness to these spies, she said to the spies as they were about to leave, "Would you protect me when you conquer this city, just like I've protected you and saved your lives? I want you to save mine." And they said, "You hang this scarlet cord, a red cord, out your window, and we will see that cord on the window, and no one will be killed if they're in your house. We will spare your house, but the rest of the city will be destroyed." And this happened. So when they came to destroy Jericho, Rahab and everyone in her household were saved. If they left the house, their blood was on their own heads. If they're in the house, they will pass by. Again, the blood of Christ is just like this. If we are covered by the blood of Christ, we don't face eternal death. We have eternity in heaven with God. We have a greater future. We have a hope. So that's where we're going. And we're going to look at some of the blessings that this blood gains for us. So through the blood of Jesus, number one, we gain bold access to God in worship and prayer. So in the Old Testament, there was a high priest, and he could only go into the most holy places, the Holy of Holies, once a year on the Day of Atonement, carrying blood as a sacrifice. If anyone went in there any other time, they would just be smited dead. But because of Jesus Christ, we have a confidence to enter the holy place of the blood, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus' blood finished that Old Testament system where they had to go into the most holy of holies and only the high priest could go in. Jesus tore down the divide between the holy of holies, where only the high priest could go, and where we can come into God, relationship with God ourselves. We can come right into his presence because we are covered by his blood. His blood covers up our sins, so we are justified and acceptable to God and can approach him. We have been made near to God by the blood of Jesus Christ, Ephesians tells us. Secondly, we are reconciled to God. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. His blood makes peace with God. Once we were enemies with God, our sin separates us from God. We see that right from the first people, Adam and Eve, when they sinned. Cain and Abel, when they sinned, they had to leave the garden. Sin separates us from God. But because Jesus paid the price for our sin, he brings us back into relationship with God. And it is about relationship. It was always about relationship. It's not about, you know, being good or bad. It's not about coming to church. It's about relationship with God. That's what he's always wanted. That was his whole program. That's why Jesus died, to reconcile us to God, to bring us back into loving relationship with him. Thirdly, we receive redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. We couldn't pay our own debts, but Jesus paid it for us as the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Ephesians says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the richness of his grace." You know, it also says, as Jesus said in the Gospels, as we celebrate communion, "For this is my blood," Jesus said, "the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." We receive our forgiveness through the blood of Christ. That is the greatest gift of all. And we're going to sing after this message, "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus," because nothing else can ever bring about that forgiveness. We can't earn our forgiveness. We can't buy our forgiveness. We can only receive it through faith in Jesus Christ. Number four, through Jesus' blood, we have our conscience cleansed. For if the blood of the goats and bulls and the sprinkling of the defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So even in those Old Testament purification ceremonies, the sacrifice of animals and the sprinkling of the blood. Like, seriously, what we sprinkle with water now, they did that with blood over the people. They'd get a hyssop branch, dip it in the blood and splash it all over the people for their cleansing. I'm so glad to live in New Testament times, aren't you? Water's much better symbol for us today. But that didn't cleanse them for long. But Jesus has, his one sacrifice was enough for God for all time. And so it doesn't have to be a ritual going over and over and over again, you know. But sanctification is something that we need to do ongoingly, because we don't stay clean for long. We need to confess our sins and keep short accounts with God. But his sacrifice is enough to cover it all. He already died for the sins you're going to commit next year. It's not an excuse to go do them. We want to be pure. We want to be holy. We want to do what's right. But there is no condemnation for us who are in Jesus Christ, because we are justified and we are sanctified. It says, Jesus also suffered in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it's an ongoing thing. We have to keep walking in the light to realise where our lives don't line up with the light. We can confess those and just keep becoming more and more pure and holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Number six, we are able to conquer Satan. Now, because of Christ's sacrifice, the righteousness of Jesus covers us. And when the enemy accuses us, as he does, like he'll say, you know, you're no good or you're wrong, we can fight him with the word, which we heard about the week before last. He can fight him in the name of Jesus. He has to flee. Or you can fight him with the blood. And all three is good. I recommend all three. Revelation said that, and they have conquered him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. So even the saints of old, they conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We declare Jesus is King. We declare he is Lord of our lives. We declare he's our Redeemer, our Justifier, our Saviour, our Lord. And Satan can't touch us. We can't stand on our own merits, on our own good works against the devil, but only stand up in Jesus' blood and in his name against the accusations. I love what Charles Spurgeon once said. I'll read it to you. I know what the devil will say to you. He will say, "You are a sinner." Tell him, "You know you are. But that for all that, you are justified." He will tell you of the greatness of your sin. Tell him of the greatness of Christ's righteousness. He will tell you of all the mishaps and backslidings, of all your offences and your wanderings. Tell him and tell your own conscience that you know all that, but that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and that, although your sin be great, Christ is quite able to put all that away. His blood covers all that. It's as if you never sinned. Clear conscience. We're redeemed. So it's good news. Oh, there's more. Through Jesus' blood, our ransom is paid. We're ransomed, we're saved from a sinful way of life. 1 Peter says, "You are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." We're rescued from a life devoid of meaning and brought into relationship with God and the ability to live for his purposes. And we are so valuable. We cost more than gold or silver. We cost someone's life. Someone gave his life for us. You are the most amazingly valued person alive. Number 8, the blood of Jesus makes you a priest to God. You're bought for a reason, not just bought to go your own way and keep sinning. You're bought to be a holy nation, a people belonging to God. You're part of a royal priesthood. That is your calling. As Revelation 1 starts, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is good news. Yeah, I'm glad you're smiling. Everyone should be smiling. This is good news, guys. Take joy, Christian brothers and sisters. This is what Christ has given to you. He's given you access to God. He's reconciled you to God in relationship. He's redeemed you. He's cleansed you. He's sanctified you. He empowers you to defeat the enemy. He's paid your ransom and he's made you a priest. And this list is not exhaustive. There is so much more I could say, but you probably want to leave by lunchtime. This is amazing. What a great gift. We have so much to be grateful for and thankful for, and I just want to encourage us to be living in our true state, covered by the blood of Jesus, and just fully assured that we are safe and protected and redeemed and of our right standing in him. You know, Jesus died for a reason, and we need to live in what he bought for us, what he's given to us. It's no point just saying, oh yeah, thank you, and leaving it over there. We need to be living this out in our day-to-day lives. You know, I get on my knees regularly and just pray to God and say, God, just cover this house with your blood. Cover my children with your blood, and I name them. I want everyone to be protected. I pray over every single one of you and this place. Do you know, I've had two people come and tell me recently that there is like a ghost here or something, a spirit. And I've been praying since December for the cleansing of this place. And I've had a prompting, a sensing that God wants to cleanse this place. And I pray the Holy Spirit will just flow through and cleanse us all the time. But today, if you'll allow me, I want us to pray for a blood covering over this place. Because this place belongs to Jesus. And we're going to pray in his name for his blood covering in accordance with his word. This is rightfully his. And any other spirit who's here should not be here. Because the only spirit we want in here in this house and in our bodies is the Holy Spirit. You only ever invite one spirit into your life or your house, and it's the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that is good, the only one that is a blessing. Any other spirit in seances and stuff, they'll pretend to be good spirits, but it's pretend. Because there's only one good Holy Spirit worth inviting into your life. Never invite other spirits into you. So, is it okay to pray now together over this property and over you? All right, let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, your people have declared their faith in you. We've put our hope in you, in Jesus Christ, in all he's done for us. We know he's redeemed us. We know he loves us. We know he died for us. And he wants to cleanse us and sanctify us and justify us and keep us holy, keep us safe. And I pray over every single person in this room, Lord, for your blood covering over them, Lord, and over their families and over their households. And I pray for their safekeeping and their protection, Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that no harm will ever come to them, that you'll protect them with your blood. And so we pray for your blood covering over them, and we pray for a fresh and filling of your Holy Spirit. Just blow through them, Lord. Blow through their lives. Blow through their hearts and bodies. Holy Spirit, come upon them today. In the holy and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. In accordance with your word, have your way in your people. Cleanse us from within by the power of your Holy Spirit. Transform us more into the image of Christ. We are your people, and we're here to sing your praises. And we declare over this house, Lord, this church, we declare it's yours. We claim it for you. It is yours. It's your sanctuary. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will fill this place to overflowing, that no other spirit will ever dwell here or even come passing through. We renounce anything that is not of you in this place. And we ask, Lord, that you will just come afresh and blow through this place and cleanse it by your Holy Spirit and your blood. Cover this place with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that no evil can come here. And even on all the grounds, to every border of this property, we renounce all evil, we claim it for you, we plead the blood over it and ask for your protection, your blessing, your redemption, your grace. May this place be a place full of your power and your might and your love and your grace and your truth and your mercy. We pray for mercy. Pray for healing. Pray for grace and truth. We pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, in accordance with the word of God, in Jesus' name. Amen.